Hey, welcome to the podcast. My name is Danko Jones, and I want to welcome Nick Flanagan to the podcast. It's great for you to be on the podcast again.
Well, thank you very much. I'm here. I'm in the house.
Did I surprise you just now?
No.
Treating you like a regular guest, like a real regular guest.
I mean, the only thing that didn't surprise me was the strange tone that you took. I expected you to start to launch into it with this kind of like, hey, everybody, what's going on?
You know? What is that? You always, when you do an impression of me, it's always this voice you think I take on.
There's two versions. There's the...
Fuck you, man.
What's up? What's up, guys? Have you ever seen Sega Lord X on YouTube?
No. Again, with your insane references. And this is a gaming reference, I'm assuming?
He is a very mildly popular gaming figure who I'm trying to figure out what city he's from, and he has this backwards baseball cap, is obsessed with Sega, and he goes, "What's up, everybody? This is Sega Lord X. Welcome." And he has that very deliberate
This is on
tone.
YouTube?
Yes, and I think you should check it out.
Okay, first of all, this is the second, whether nobody knows this, but this is the second gamer reference Nick has thrown at me this morning.
Yeah.
So I'm assuming you are full into some sort of game you're playing currently. And what is it with you checking out gamers on YouTube? That is,
you make it sound
fucked.
Like I'm checking them out, but I'm not. I'm not like checking them out.
That's kind of
like
fucking
a romantic
crazy.
Way.
That's kind of next level weirdo internet.
Yeah, no.
Thing.
It's been a rough 2 years. I didn't work enough. This led to going down many different YouTube rabbit holes. And
all
also,
right, okay.
One of the few things I did work on was like a video game. And so because I did that, I was like, and there was a point where I was
like,
punched it up,
right.
Basically. And there was a point where I was like, I'm going to work in games. And it actually looked like I had this job that was very close. Plus in LA, you're a little more isolated. So you're kind of around your YouTube stuff a lot.
Oh, I gotta say, you're back from LA.
Back from LA for the next few months, I guess. And yeah, I watched all this different stuff. I watched Dick Gregory conspiracy theory videos. I got into those.
Really?
Yeah, there's all
he
this.
He has some?
Oh, you haven't seen that? I can't believe I didn't send that to you.
Oh
my God.
Oh, man.
They're, like Dick Gregory from about the age of probably 70 up. His voice was telling you like this. And he, all these guys who
I've seen his
him.
Rant. I've seen him rant on YouTube.
Okay, well, this is pretty much just what that was.
Okay.
Like him cussing out his questioner and talking about how he thinks
it could be from the same interview.
Yeah,
because
he's
saw
drinking these
similar.
Giant smoothies and just he's so mad, but he talks a lot about, you know, conspiracies and his viewpoints, and I watched those. I watched The Star Chamber, which is this guy, Star in the Morning, who is briefly on the Everyday Struggle podcast, and Star is a very mean person, and I can't stop. And then I got into the gaming world on YouTube, which is a whole thing, you know? And I'm not talking about PewDiePie. I'm talking about...
I don't even know what that is.
You don't want to know. Keep everybody you know away from PewDiePie.
I'm not saying to myself, oh, he means PewDiePie.
I got into Rice Gum. That's a whole thing. That's not even gaming. I mean, I really just like got deep into knowing about YouTubers. Because I watched... There's a Netflix series called Finding... what's his... I don't even remember. I can't believe I don't remember the name. But it's basically about an Instagram star who him and these other Instagram boy stars are managed by this guy named Bart Bordelon. And he first go to these things called MagCon, which stands for Meet and Greet Convention.
Is this real?
Yeah. And so I watched that. So I got into YouTuber culture, game culture.
There's a culture to it?
Yeah. And now I have mics and I've been trying to...
You are trying to launch a podcast. Now, has it launched?
No, not at all.
Yet.
I have terrible, issues that get in the way.
I wasn't going to say anything, but you did send me a clip.
You liked it.
I liked it, but I also said that you can't hear your guest. You can only hear you. Your guest is like 5 feet away from you, it sounds.
Well, that's annoying. And that we used a different kind of mic for that. I have separate mics that probably would change that problem. But if that was the only problem, it'll be good. So if anyone wants to help me edit it,
no,
I need a lot of
not
help.
Me. I'm out.
If anyone, listeners, want to help me.
I've edited stuff for you in the past.
And it was great.
Yeah. Well, it you helped, didn't use it.
It helped me inform what to use. It helped me inform what to use.
Okay. Well, let's get to it. Shall we?
I mean, I don't even think you asked me what I was up to. Not that I really answered.
You just told me what
you were
up to.
Yeah, but I just told you.
I knew it was coming.
Yeah.
Okay, let's start the podcast. The Danko Jones Podcast is the best around. Nick Flynn and Kidd is Danko's go up to love for free. I'm so glad I like to sometimes. Tell me in from fucked up. Stop playing. Hang down. Down. Hey, we're back. And this is the question and answer podcast episode, which I'm calling the annual Q&A between you and I, Nick.
I mean, it's become a bit of a tradition.
Because it's the third year in a row, I believe.
Wow.
Not just second, third year in a row. I think it's pretty bold to say annual when it's the first. By the third, yes, you can call it annual. So, last couple of days, only 2 days, I must admit, I've thrown it out to the Twitterverse. Not the Instagramverse or the Facebookverse, but just Twitter.
Why do you avoid Instagram?
Because, I don't know. Actually, I should have done it.
Yeah.
But
I
didn't.
That's the new...
Yeah, I know.
That's the new way.
Yeah, it is. But I did it through Twitter, and we were able to get a lot of questions. So we're going to go through it and try not to take up too long. But the first question that came through was by @Daisy_D_Heria, H-E-R-I-A. And Daisy asks, which Rolling Stones album do you suggest I should listen to as a person that never listened to an entire album before? Oh, my God. But
I
would vote
that.
For the Beatles when asked to decide between the two. Yes, I'm aware I should not vote because how can you take sides if you only know one party? Well, this brings me to the inevitable Beatles versus Stones argument before we answer her question.
Inevitable.
Always is something I always talk about it anytime both those bands are brought up.
Right. No, it's true. Got to make that comparison.
And I always, not because I'm a contrarian, but because I'm a champion of the underdog, I will say the Stones.
Mm-hmm.
Who do you say?
That's so hard. I mean, that's like one of the trickiest questions ever because... which really gives a sad comment on my intelligence level. That's one of
Why?
The hardest questions of all time.
There's well, Lennon
external
called,
of math.
Lennon called McCartney some of McCartney's material granny music, I believe.
Well,
so going with that, I think Lennon would also agree with
well,
me.
Well, I mean, there is this thing with the Beatles, where as I mean, they're just so amazing, but then like there are so many songs where it's like. You know, like these sort of marches through a megaphone, you know, and I don't like that.
Or kind of not folk as in acoustic guitars, but like folk as in folk cultural folk song-y type.
Campfire type music.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I do have space for that in my life, especially like Rocky Raccoon, which might fall into
right,
something
Rocky
like that.
Right, Rocky Raccoon and a lot of Abbey Road and White Album.
But those
for sure.
are pretty neat. But Rolling Stones, just there's something about, you know, the songs that's really exciting in a way that Beatles songs some have, but not all. And I read Tom Sharpling just wrote yesterday on Twitter, the radio host guy. He wrote, the great dude, he said, Satanic Majesty's Request. He started saying it's better than Sgt. Pepper.
Well, that's just being a contrarian for just, I mean, just to elicit a reaction. But I think, now I'm sure Tom Sharpling can back up his argument, but I mean, even me as a Rolling Stones fan, I have to concede that Sgt. Pepper's is better than Satanic Majesty's. I mean, it's a ridiculous statement.
I've barely heard Satanic Majesty's, but that album does have She's a Rainbow's on that record.
2000 Man, which Kiss covered, I know that automatically.
Yeah, 2000 Man.
And Rob Bowman, my old professor, who was on the podcast, he wrote the liner notes for the reissue.
So my answer wouldn't be Satanic Majesty's Request because I haven't heard it. For me, I mean, it is like... There's very little that's as thrilling as like the very beginning of Exile on Main Street. You know, the sort of side A of Exile is just so exciting.
Exile's one of them.
I think Sticky Fingers is probably the best place to start.
That is my favorite album, too.
I think that it's, in a way, I would say Beggar's Banquet is like my favorite record, but then I think it's a little bit like picking.
It's in my top five.
Just a very, very, very well trod, the most well trod of the albums in a way. But I'm going to go with Sticky Fingers. Are for me, Aftermath was the first record I really got into of theirs. And Aftermath is just a really great example of what they did with blues in a good way, and then where they went from there with Brian Jones, you know, being this sort of person who was such a... he was just not a regular blues worshiper like the other two guys were, I think. And it just, you know...
Brian Jones?
Well, I just feel like wasn't he in them for Aftermath? He was in the band for Aftermath.
Yeah, but he was definitely a blues lover.
I'm sure he was, but he was a little headier or something, you know, and I just think he added this sort of weirdness to it.
Yeah.
Like, I Am Waiting, I picture that being like a Brian Jones kind
of. I just feel like a lot of people, you know, the way people talk about the difference between Brian Jones and Keith, Mick and Keith, it's as if they were in the room when they were all talking.
I couldn't identify Brian Jones in a photo.
But wait a minute, you being in a band, yes. You know, bands break up because on maybe musical differences, but really it boils down to, I don't like the way the guy shovels his food when he puts his fork in his mouth. It really sometimes boils down to that.
Yeah, it's almost, it's for it to be musical differences, like, would have to be someone being so, there just would be have to either be someone really sucking at making music or something else going on where a person is insecure about the other person's songwriting style or for whatever reason.
Okay, but, so you would say Aftermath.
Aftermath and Sticky Fingers are great places to start. Of course,
I say Sticky Fingers, Exile on Main Street, and Let It Bleed.
Let It Bleed is amazing too. And then Beggar's Banquet. Honestly, if you put on Beggar's Banquet, it's the best. So it'll be great. And also, if you're a Beatles fan, you know, Beggar's Banquet is a great example of putting on a Stones album and going like, oh, maybe they're as good at the Beatles as the Beatles at what they do. You know. Maybe they're as good as the Beatles is what they do.
I would say Flowers as well.
I don't have Flowers. What's on Flowers?
Ruby Tuesday.
Oh, yeah.
That was all. But it's just a solid... It doesn't really have too many, but it's just a solid listen.
I mean, the 60s...
And I've heard that album.
The 60 through 70 discography is like just a great thing you can do and compare with the Rolling Stones. Because like you take Between the Buttons, and that's got some songs on it. You know, it's just... There's lots to go through.
Okay, so I hope that answers her question. Let's move on. Justin Pierrot, and he's at
Broken Social Scene.
No, that's just no, oh. No. It's at
Hi Justin.
Hi Justin.
How you doing?
At Stormland Brand on Twitter, and Justin asks: at the end of the day, how much weight should we give the Polaris Prize? Whoa. What do you think of the Polaris Prize, basically?
Me? Well, it's hard to have a sort of clear answer for that. I've never really felt like I've been in bands. I mean, maybe you feel the same way. I've never really felt like I was in bands that even, like, sort of registered with the Polaris Prize. You know?
Yeah, no, I feel that way, too.
Yeah, exactly. But I think it's a mess, you know? Like, I think it's really... It's this weird combination of somehow the Grammy Juno mentality and this sort of indie.
Well, it's based on that UK prize.
Yes, Mercury.
Yeah.
But I think this one, and it's also sometimes treated like a lifetime achievement award. It feels like.
Don't they have a lifetime award?
They might have added that after Buffy St. Marie won. But there was like, if there's a year where you're competing against Neil Young or Buffy St. Marie, it feels stupid. Even, you know,
I like the fact that it gives bands who don't have a voice or a platform or an audience a chance
to. I like that too.
Yeah. But it is skewed to a certain kind of music and ignores other kinds of contemporary music mm-hmm. that are making some great music that, you know, I just feel that it's all the people involved, like, you know, indie, rock, dance music, rap mm-hmm. music, yeah. if it's conscious.
No, if it's Drake most of the time.
Like, oh, there was really? A lot Drake's of years, involved in that?
Almost every year Drake is nominated for a Polaris. That's oh, kind wow. of what I'm talking about.
So it doesn't ignore the mainstream.
It's
weird.
That's
weird.
What I'm saying.
It's very skewed to a very particular kind of taste in music. And that's where I have a problem with it. On the other hand, Aaron Brophy, who edited my new book, I've Got Something to Say, works at the Polaris Prize. So
yeah,
I can't
try to disparage
employees
or the spirit of the award. I mean, the year that I had a couple of years where I was doing this kind of live coverage of it.
Oh, yeah. That's right. You were like on the red carpet and as an interviewer or
something.
Yeah,
and I don't remember which year. There was one year that was really intense because Viet Cong were nominated. And
that band.
People
yeah.
I knew were protesting it. The name.
The name,
and,
right.
In fact, Jennifer Castle's entire table was all wearing shirts that were sort of like, we don't like Viet Cong, basically.
Okay.
And Simone from the band's Fiverr, $100, the highest order, did a sort of speech that was talking about that. And, you know, I think the last year, that woman, Lito Pimenta...
Nick, I don't know. Not in my wheelhouse,
well, that
as
woman
the kids say these
went
days.
On, she won, but I think she's very outspoken. I kind of like it when it sort of combines with this kind of weird Canadian specialty, which is kind of speaking out, you know, like winning something.
Yeah, well, didn't Tanya Tagaq, when she won the Polaris Prize,
yeah.
she said, fuck... what is it? Greenpeace? No.
She said yeah. Something. No, yeah.
Didn't
she was like, I love the seal hunt.
Yeah, she loved
basically
this,
something
yeah.
equivalent to that.
I mean, people use the Polaris Prize as a way of getting their political views.
Out.
Yeah.
Yeah, and obviously the money is this huge boon. And it does certainly showcase smaller acts as well as larger acts. And I think that putting them on the same stage is a good thing.
It's just not part of my world. You know, the Polaris Prize, good on them, I think. I would love to be included, our band. Unfortunately, we're not. And it really boils down, and this is the problem that I have, to like kind of just, you know, aesthetics. You know, like they don't like the chord progressions that we play or the pedals that we use that elicit those sounds. So it really boils down to that sometimes to me. But that's just my opinion. Let's move on. Before we piss more people off. All right. Next question.
Yes.
By Blue Jins at Blue Jins, JINNS UK.
Right.
Asks, will there be a mid-year State of Rock and Roll commentary coming? Be cool to hear the Flans, that's you, Nick Flanagan's take on what he's been listening to. Any great discoveries while you've been out on the road? Does Nick miss sleeping in corridors of punk rock party houses? Is this someone you know?
I don't know for sure, but it's possible I met Blue Jins when I went to the UK in 2008.
And probably slept on their floor.
I mean, the British make you sleep literally on their floor. They take
right.
it very literally.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, I didn't mean anything else but a floor.
Yeah.
Any new bands you're checking out?
Well, I saw a band called, Ignata.
You're always with the new stuff, but you
Well, because I've been doing the door for shows lately.
Oh.
So that's what I'll tell you what I've been doing the door for.
Okay.
I saw Limp Wrist, and they were amazing. They're always
they're not
so
a new
good.
Band.
No, they're not new. Ice Age's new sound is like actually really exciting. It's got this birthday party Nick Cave thing going on for the Ice Age kids because they've got something neat happening. Love Total Control. The Total Control record from last year was great. Pusha T, Daytona. Classic record, pretty much.
Good record.
But new bands.
Well, that's a new record. I mean,
there's
this band called, I don't have her name handy. I just saw her play. She plays sort of like noise, bog power violence. And I just saw her on Tuesday.
Really?
Yeah, her name was, I don't want to, just if you're interested, ask me the name and I will tell you after because I just don't have it handy. Or we can include it in the description of the,
really?
I don't know. I don't know what to do.
Okay, well, to keep it going, I will quickly just say the East Side Gamblers, which is Tony Higbee's band, they just put out an EP yesterday. It came out. Five-song EP that I've been listening to. Also, a band called Blackwater Holy Light on Riding Easy Records. They just put out a record a couple of weeks ago, or maybe last month. And of course, Norway's Lute, but I've talked about them before. And I know there's a couple of other bands. Gozu's new album, G-O-Z-U. They've got a new album out that's really great. They're on Metal Blade, but they're like a, they're not a like a metal band. They're metal friendly, I would say. But they're kind of, you know, rock and roll. And yeah.
I really like that YouTube streaming playlist. Lo-fi chill beats to study to.
Your playlists are now included in this?
It's not even a playlist. It's like a YouTube streaming channel called Lo-fi
Dude,
chill beats.
You and the YouTube thing and the gamers
to.
And that's crazy. Do you watch like Minecraft? Some guy playing Minecraft?
No, but
on
I watch
YouTube?
Fortnite videos.
Man, I don't even know what that is.
Fortnite?
And I'm proud I don't.
Yeah.
Can we move on?
Yeah.
At EatKS. This is Nikki. Who we know. I was on her podcast actually.
Cool.
Everything but the kitchen sink. At EatKS, Nikki asks, will you ever do a podcast based on your Instagram account, Next Level Record Collecting? No, I won't. We were talking about Instagram earlier.
Yeah. You're not a gamer anymore, you're a grammar.
Hey, that's good. Did you come up with that?
Of course.
I have four Instagram accounts, and one of them is at Next Level Record Collecting. And yeah, I'm not going to do a podcast.
So what's Next Level Record Collecting? I don't think I've seen it.
Really? I just post about it every week. Okay, so it's just all my bizarre, odd records that I have, that I own.
Oh, yeah, maybe I haven't seen that.
Too. I post those. Today, I actually did a post. I do it like twice a week. Today's post was Barbie Benton's. One of Barbie Benton's albums, the old Hugh Hefner's girlfriend. She was on Hee Haw as well.
Not to be confused with the Barbie twins.
No, not at all.
How are they doing, do you think?
I have no idea. I don't know how Nelson is doing either. then I have at Next Level Book Club. And I also have that I post all the wacky books and comics. And then I just started a new one called Memes by Danko. That's memes _by_Danko, which all my memes I store there.
I feel like I helped you get into memes, I feel.
No. Just showed me some memes, but I was making them too. Just not as rapidly.
That's
You're
fair.
Taking credit for this.
No.
You're going to take credit for the memes
I
make?
I was there on the ground floor.
Oh, well, maybe, because we've been doing this podcast together since 2011.
It's all I have is this ground floor
right,
thing.
Fine,
so just
fine.
Let me.
All right, yes. Fine. All right, so we move on. Moshi.
Yeah, I know him. What's
at
up? Longer.
The Longer.
Yeah.
Yeah, he asks, oh, hey, awesome fellas. Got a cue. What's the best tool a digital introvert should yield in the hopes of getting music out to the right ears? Bandcamp?
I think that the go-to answer has to be Bandcamp. It's not as simple as just getting a Bandcamp. You know, I think that you need to kind of examine
how to get traffic.
How to get some traffic on your Bandcamp, which I honestly don't have a total answer for because comedy doesn't really have as much of a space on the website.
Which is too bad. I'd love to see that. But Spotify.
Spotify, but I think starting with Bandcamp is great. And then because it just puts you in control. It's all going to one place. You know, it's a limited platform comparatively, but putting out an EP on Bandcamp, developing a fan base there, and that might mean interacting, making sure you're seeing who your friends are who are there, you know, making, if they allow playlists, like supporting other stuff, because it's more of a website that's about that. I think that you could get a lot out of Bandcamp, but you do have to watch stuff like file size on Bandcamp, because it's really easy to like have all your files be like 30 megabytes, you know, because they're high quality or whatever. Try to make them something manageable.
Oh, wow. That's a, yeah, because yeah. I want to get into Bandcamp, not for our band, but just
projects
for,
and stuff.
Yeah, and yeah. It's a fun way to just like have it out there in public.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. And I think that Bandcamp, you know, obviously SoundCloud's awesome too if you're less interested in people buying it and you just want people to hear it.
Yeah.
And yeah, like Danko, like you were just saying, like get on Spotify, make a playlist of your music, make a playlist of music you like, you know, like just try to do a whole thing, you know? I don't do it, but I should, you know?
Yeah. All right, so we move on. Yeah. Harris Pittman.
What's up, Harris?
Hey, he's a friend of both of ours. Yes. At Harris Pittman asks, did you guys watch the Ric Flair 30 for 30? I know I'm a little late, but that that Jim Cornette quote, the NWA was the Boston Celtics, the WWF was the Harlem Globetrotters. Now, have you seen it?
No, unfortunately.
I have it bookmarked. To watch.
Yeah.
Ken, our friend Ken, sent me the link.
I saw Ken recently.
And who Ken and I, just last month, went to the Niagara Falls Comic Con to meet Ric Flair.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
So I've never seen Ken in that state, I got to say. He was so excited to meet Ric Flair. Uh-huh. And so we met him, and Ric Flair was great.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, he sent me that link after the Comic-Con. I haven't seen that, but that quote by Jim Cornette is pretty bang on.
I've been saving... I've been thinking about the Ric Flair 30 for 30. I'm looking forward to the Ric Flair 30 for 30.
I can send you the link that he sent
that
me.
Yeah, that would be great.
I heard... Ken saw it. He said it's amazing.
Not to give a sort of second prize to Harris, but I did watch the Andre the Giant documentary.
That's the one I want to find, but they took it down off YouTube, and I don't have HBO.
Oh, yeah. I have access to HBO through my riches.
Ah.
I did watch it, and so if we can talk about that for a second, I don't know. I mean, obviously,
well,
you haven't even seen it.
The quick review is thumbs up or down.
The quick review is thumbs up. You know,
yeah.
it's not...
I saw the trailers.
It's not a hardcore... look at him in any way.
He's kind of dead,
it's
right?
Exactly. That always, it's a WWE produced thing.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Or at least
so
a collaboration
it
with it. And so, you know, there's lots of works. Like, I don't think it's the whole story of Andre, but it's the most we'll get. And he was a guy who, his life was hard.
Did they interview, what's her face from House of Cards?
Why?
Because she was in Princess Bride with
him.
Yeah,
for a second. She's in it. Robin Wright. And
Robin Wright.
Yeah, the Princess Bride people are in it for a moment. You know, you mostly get Vince. You mostly get Hogan, you know. You get a lot of... Tim White, actually, who was this, you know, longtime referee at the WWE.
Cool. Well,
Heenan's
also dead as well. That
unfortunately,
kind of,
Heenan's
know?
Dead. And you know, they it had such a difficult last few years. There was no way of getting, you know.
No, you couldn't even.
But Tim White is and Pat Patterson. So there's some cool people that you see from for sure, and you hear all about how much he hated Randy Savage and stuff. I mean, it's really too bad. So many wrestlers are dead because, you know, that means you're not hearing from Big John Studd. You're not hearing from.
Yeah.
The list just goes on, you
yeah.
know, but it's definitely worth watching. However, I have a feeling the 30 for 30 with Flair is like a very different kind of program.
Yeah, I got to see it. And that's a good reminder. Thanks, Harris. Alessandro.
What's
at,
up?
Okay. At Zip Bolang on Twitter asks, okay, I see you follow the Church of Satan. Are you a practicing Satanist? Congrats on your book. I've got something to say. First of all, Alessandro, thank you for the congrats. Am I a practicing Satanist? But I follow it because I like the Church of Satan, but that's the whole thing, is like there's no practicing Satanist.
I thought that phrase that he put was very confusing to me, where he's, I see you follow the Church of Satan. I didn't put the two and two together with the Twitter account. So I just thought, oh, you follow the Church of Satan? On Twitter.
On Twitter.
That's very different.
And actually, the Church of Satan has retweeted me.
And don't they do something where they kind of go like, we want to say the Church of Satan has nothing to do with Kellyanne Conway and what she or comment. Like they do these snarky kind of...
They do snarky tweets when people kind of misrepresent what a Satanist is.
Yeah.
And the term Satanist... has been misrepresented in pop culture.
Well, they sort of took the term Satanist.
They took it and they
co-opted it.
Yeah, to be fair, you're right. Yeah. They rebranded it, refurbished it. All right, so Shinbone Star.
Now we're getting good.
At Shinbone Star, and Star has two R's, asks, when are you coming back to Australia? When are you coming back, Nick?
To Australia? I guess someday when I have a fringe show about, you know, just... my big fall and the inevitable triumph.
Yeah, well, concentrate on the triumph part.
Well, I'm still falling. So.
Well, I would say Australia, when an Australian promoter wants to have us over, we will come with bells on. And that goes for every other place on earth that, you know, We want to play everywhere all the time, but it's just a matter of promoters, you know, inviting us over. We can't just knock on Australia's door, show up, book the tickets, and go, hey, you got a show for us. So hopefully someone, the last two times we went to Australia, we were asked by a promoter, and so hopefully the third time as well.
So you've been twice now?
Twice, yeah. We went in 04? I think I want to say 04, and then in 2013.
Have you been to New Zealand?
No, that's a place that we would love to play.
Yeah, I can't imagine.
New Zealand's like an oasis. I know JC's been. He likes going there for vacation.
That's cool.
Okay, let's move on. Brendan Crab, or Crabe Crab, at Jar of Tripsis.
Nice.
Will extreme metal bands eventually reach a point where it can't get any heavier? Is there a limit to it all?
Where are we at now with extreme metal bands? What's the most extreme metal band in your opinion? Because I'm out of the loop a little bit.
I am too, actually. To be honest, I haven't had my ear to the ground. But
I mean, I was at a Power Violence type of show the other day. Body Void.
It can get heavier than that, though.
Power Violence is not that. It's so hardcore influenced that it only has so much heaviness, right? Like, but what's heavy?
I feel it's like recording a power saw.
And then just leaving the room?
Yeah, like Sun O pretty much took it to the point, where can you take it? Live, I mean.
Mm. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think that that's just like one of the issues that we face now, where it's like the idea of pushing something to the extreme being
good,
the meaningful element of making something. It's like
it's
like if it's extreme, it naturally gets there, or in that moment when you hear it, you go, "Wow, there's like nothing heavier than this." Even if there is something heavier than that, I can't.
But
really
people have
it.
Been saying that and asking that question ever since Appetite for Destruction or Master of Puppets was released,
or you know, Pantera, you know,
right,
or. I mean, Cannibal Corpse. I mean, I feel like when he's talking about that, he's talking more about probably
Cannibal Corpse.
Something like Cannibal Corpse or...
Right, right. Or Napalm Death.
Napalm Death, I guess, Deicide, you know, and you know, maybe
Like Grindcore and what's... For me,
grindy death metal. Well, Noise is very extreme.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
A lot of noise
groups
are really extreme.
And there's so many of them.
That's kind of...
It could be you in a bedroom.
I mean, what happened, I think, with genres is now with the internet, it's like everyone... I know this is the most trite thing to say, but it's been said a million times, but it's like people have access to entire genres, the whole story of every one of those genres. They can create something within that immediately. And, you know... I think that that's kind of created a difficulty to stand out. Even it's like, okay, you can make the heaviest thing now, but it's like, who cares? Because you have all these examples of other things. So of course you can make the craziest thing, but make it good, please. Just make something good. Everything is only okay.
Yeah, I don't have a real good. I don't think neither of us had a good answer to that question. So. The question is still up in the air for someone to answer.
Yeah.
Okay, the next question. Evie, at Evie_Kristen. What is your dream car? Nick, your dream car.
Well, Cool Keith once said he had a line where he goes, stretch Lamborghinis with four doors with four floors. And I always liked picturing
so
that.
So what is that, a UK public bus or something?
Yeah, exactly. But like a Lamborghini. I think it would probably be a Mini. A nice little... No, what are not a Mini. What's that British car? A Jet. Is it that a Mini?
Okay, well, in answering that...
Yes, like a really nice, Fiat, you know?
That's your dream car? Not car.
Okay.
Dream car.
Dream car has two hoods. It's the width of five lanes. It has a skeleton that rises. I can just do like press a button and the hood opens and a skeleton comes out of it. It's jet black. It's always the top of it's always on fire.
So the Batmobile is what you want.
But it's on fire.
So like Ghost Rider's car.
It's kind of if Ghost Rider had a car.
if Ghost Rider rode a car, right?
Yeah, if he was if he was, or even a bus, ghost passenger.
So your dream car is a bus.
My dream car.
A bus from Ghost Rider's garage.
My dream car is a Ghost Rider bus where Ghost Rider and I are the only two passengers, and the bus driver is Danny McBride.
All right. I don't have an answer to this question because I'm really not into cars. My dream car is the car that'll get me to point B.
And not it's point A?
No, well, I always will start at point A, but I need to get to point B always. And then when I get to point B turns into point A, and I got to get to point B again. So that's my dream car.
Just a car that gets you from one place to another. I think that's why I liked the Fiat idea. Just a little car.
Yeah, right. But I would say, if anything, push comes to something. I mean, if you're talking about dreams, then I would go for the DeLorean in Back to the Future. But anyways, let's move on.
Okay.
Rondell Austin has two questions.
Lots of questions this time. I love it.
At Rondell77 asks, what's the best live album you've ever heard? Mine's a tie between George Thorogood Live and Yanni. Whoa. In Egypt.
Whoa. Yanni Live in Egypt sounds like something I would need to hear. That sounds pretty cool.
I mean, it really piques my curiosity that he would drop that of all albums. My favorite live album is Solomon Burke's Solo Live. What is yours?
That's a great question. I'm going to say that right now the album that sticks out to me as a live record, the last live record I really listened to, was Rock and Roll Animal by Lou Reed. And it's a live record.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Yeah. And
I don't know.
There's a version of Heroin.
Because I haven't heard it.
There's a version of Heroin that's just so interesting on it, where he's just, I don't know, this era he had, he was just... It's got gigantic guitar, wanky guitar solos happening.
Really?
All the time, yeah. And it's just like really
fascinating.
That's so
un Lou Reed.
Very un Lou Reed. And so that's really fascinating. Lou Reed live, I've really actually, through his career, if you watch certain live clips, it's like pretty cool watching them. It
really?
Sounds crazy.
It's but, not like watching grass grow?
No, not at all. It's awkward, as he always was, you know, but he had I mean, and I'm not talking about everything, but, you know, the album Diamond and Loss on YouTube, there's a live playlist that you can go through to watch live performances from that record.
Oh, my
which
God.
Are all really good, and those are from the 90s, and, you know, so...
Yeah, I have to say, like, my Lou Reed fandom is very... it's within it, very, it has boundaries. Like, I love Street Hassle, I love Coney Island Baby, Berlin, of course. I can probably name a couple more albums, but that's it.
But he was doing some good stuff into the period of time where people don't think he was doing some good
right.
stuff.
Right. So yeah. I think I'm one of those people who need to give him another chance. Like there's always bands that I'm constantly going, Jesus, I didn't give these guys a chance.
Yeah.
And one of those bands is Chicago.
Wow.
And I'm going through the discography.
Really listened to Chicago.
I've been kind of obsessed over them over the last few months. So actually over the last 12 months, I would say. So yeah, anyways.
And I don't necessarily have a favorite live album, unfortunately. But there's, and this is another left field one, like there's a Leonard Cohen record from one of his last tours, and it's really awesome. I can't recall the name anymore. Don't Forget or something. And it's a really great live record. I mean, and because he was a live performer, his live performance was very different than his songs most of the time. It was more like
poetry slam.
It was more like a deaf poetry jam. Like deaf, if you see that, jam. He's sort of deaf doing jam. This rap thing. No, I mean it was sometimes it had an element of not a lounge singer, but you know, like somebody like that, like a Sinatra or like that kind of a thing, you know, like a big review. And then it also had this ecstatic element, so it had this joyful thing that you don't associate with Leonard Cohen. So yeah.
Okay, that was a good answer to that. Good question. And Rondell has another question, a follow-up question. Best crowd participation on a live release? And then he says, the first one slash released, in brackets, festival, and Blackstone Cherry, another festival. Not to mention Danko's live one, yet another festival.
This guy's a live buff.
Yeah, he really loves the live stuff. And I'm not, honestly, I've gone on record saying this, I'm not a big live album guy.
Yeah, same here.
We've put out two DVDs and one Spotify exclusive live album, but I'm not a big aficionado or fan of it. But for me, again, it would be the Solomon Live Soul Alive album. It's the reason why I like it so much is because the crowd is going completely bonkers.
Yeah, that's always so important, you know? Well, I just saw this clip of Nicki Minaj in 2014 at something called big concert, and she does a song called Boss Ass Bitch,
and the crowd is
nuts. Goes nuts over like when she did, and it's a very old school type of song with like that Roxanne Shanté kind of like,
oh good, I like
driving
that
force
era.
And when she gets to certain lines that are just very like dagger in the guts, the crowd just goes and it's killer.
Speaking of Roxanne, did you see that Netflix movie?
I started watching it. It looked good. Yeah.
You started? What made you stop?
Something happened.
All right. And I have to mention that the Dank.
Did you see it?
Yeah, I did. Oh, sorry.
How'd you like it?
I liked Roxanne the movie, but I only really liked it because I'm a huge Nia Long fan. Like, I followed her on Instagram. I kind of drew a blank just there, but yeah.
You love Nia Long.
I do love Nia Long, so anything she does, I'm going to like it.
Did you see, this is not a, yeah. I mean, Netflix is definitely.
It's hit and miss these days, isn't it?
It's really weird. I feel like
it's a lot of hits. I got to say.
What are the hits?
Well, the new Martin Short, Steve Martin special is great.
I enjoyed it, yeah. And all the comedy specials. Lots of comedy specials.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you want to get down to it, yeah, there's a lot of good ones on there.
What do you like on there? The new
ones. I love Maria Bamford's.
Oh, she has a new one. I've got to see that.
She's got a new one, Lady Dynamite.
Oh, yeah, I love Lady Dynamite. That's the TV show. Yeah, but does she have a new special?
The special, yeah, which I saw.
Not the one with her parents?
No, 6 months ago. It's a new one.
I got to watch it.
Yeah. And Rory Scovel.
Love Rory Scovel's special. Great special.
Amazing special. Todd Glass's special was amazing. I thought those were great. And, of course, Michelle Wolf's show is...
You enjoy it a lot.
I love it.
Yeah, that's
so
cool.
Netflix is hitting it out of the park in certain respects.
Yeah, they select some good comics for the comedians. And, you know, but then this is coming from someone who's...
A comedian. You're in the business.
Was.
Get out of here, Nick. Anyways, I just want to address the last part of Rondell's second question about the live Danko Jones album. If you really want crowd participation on one of our live releases, I put out a 7-inch on Yeah Right Records a few years back, and it's just banter. So
right,
the Banter album, which is based on having fun with Elvis on stage.
Oh, I thought it would be based on the Paul Stanley one that was going
which
around.
Is based on the Elvis Presley one. Anyways, okay, and that Elvis Presley one and the Paul Stanley album are both featured on my Instagram account, Next Level Record Collecting, because I
had
both.
Let me get this off my chest. Is that what it's called? People, let me get this off my chest. The Paul Stanley one?
Yes, yeah. Something like that. It's a 7-inch. I have it back there.
That's funny.
Okay, so Craig Smith at...
Hello, Craig.
At SpeedSkater89 asks, do you have any pets? If the answer is no and you had to get a pet, what would it be and why? Nick, do you or have you ever had any pets?
Well, I've certainly had pets living with my family. Currently, I'm taking care of my sister's cat, Manny. He's
okay.
Pretty cool.
And if you could get your own pet, would
if you guys want to see a picture of him, I'll post it.
Okay. And your own pet, if you...
If I had a pet?
Had to choose?
That's a good question. I feel like just for self-care, I would
get a cat.
Get a dog. Because I think then I would have to get up and take care of the dog.
Oh, so it would give you a routine.
Give me a reason to live.
To live? What are you talking about?
And
anyways.
And the cat... would be good too. I'd like to have a dog and a cat and have them be friends. And you know, cats are great, but cats, you got to really have a plan for how it's going to work, or else it's disgusting.
So you're a cat and a dog person.
Yeah, yes, pretty much.
I'm a dog person. Yeah. I'm not a cat person. However, I can only be around hypoallergenic dogs. I would choose a dog. We were about to get a dog here at this place here that I'm currently staying at, and it turned out I was allergic to the dog.
Because it was not hypoallergenic, and you would have thought it was, but it wasn't.
I was led to believe it was, and the last test, I kind of rubbed my hands all over it and kind of rubbed it in my head and skin, and I broke out. And
brutal.
Yeah. And it broke out on my back within 10 minutes. There was like my skin was raised. It's pretty,
yeah,
it was pretty gross.
I definitely like dogs, but I find like dogs have this disgustingness that would make me sad, you know, to sort of cope with, like, oh no, the dog ate a skunk again. Or like, oh no, the dog is dragging it. We've got to take the dog to the vet. It's dragging its balls on something. You know, like, it's always shit like that. Or like, oh, our dog's mouth smells like shit. Like, it's always, everyone's always got some news like that about their dogs.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
And they're like, well, why does it smell like shit? Well, if you must know, it's actually eating its own shit. That's why it smells that way.
And then they're the same people that were like, oh my God, this is one day old. I got to throw this out in the fridge.
Right. Yeah. They're like, I only eat organic food, but my dog can barf on my stomach anytime. Right. Yeah. Its own feces.
And we both have a good treat. Okay. So the last question is Ben at Prehistoric Fang on Twitter. He asks, any release plan for the songs recorded at the Farm Studios, which is Garth Richardson's studios that we did 4 songs earlier this year. We're Crazy sounds great. So, okay, so here we go. We're Crazy is okay. Admittedly, it's a new song of ours. We did play it on the Skin Dread tour we did in April, and this guy's Twitter profile pic is the new Skin Dread album cover. So obviously he attended the tour and he heard the song. I'm glad that it stuck out to you. We're very proud of it, and we are going to be going back into the studio this fall with Garth to complete the rest of the album. And truth be told, we went in with Garth to do an EP. Mm. And we got along so well with each other, both all 4 of us, we got along well, and his recording team, et cetera, that it's like, well, why are we stopping? let's turn this into an LP. Mm-hmm. So yes, those songs are coming out next year, and it will be produced by Garth Richardson, and we can't wait to go back to the farm.
Next album's going to be a Garth Richardson production.
Yeah, yeah, cool. We're I guess a third of it. We're a third finished. It.
Producing in the name of.
Yeah, basically. Yeah, sure. So, yeah, Garth Richardson did the first Rage album, for people who didn't get that reference. Well, you know what? That was 14 questions, Nick. It brings us to the end of this Q&A.
Wow.
Yeah, not too many cuts.
No, we really pulled this one off.
Yeah, I think so.
Lots of questions. Want me to see if I've got any? thrown my
way? Did you throw? You threw it out. I saw
okay,
you.
Okay, I have a question. Yeah, that's what I mean. Want me to check? Just make sure. Well, now we're just looking at our Twitter. What do you think of this tweet I made? Remember the Eminem songs, My Dad's Gone Crazy? Well, guess what, America? You're Eminem.
Yeah, okay.
And we're Haley. Her dad's what, gone
Canada?
Crazy.
Yes. Canada is Haley? Okay.
What about when I said Robin Williams was a regular Mork Saul?
Whoa. That's a good one. I like that one.
Thank you.
Well, what was that? Thank you? Yes. That was a weird thank you.
My question for you would be, what do you hope to, what do you hope happens in the next 6 months?
This is a bullshit question.
What do you hope for? What is your wish for the world in the next 6 months?
To stay alive.
I want it all to come to a head. I'm ready for Ragnarok.
Wow.
I've been training. I've been,
you've been reading a lot of chick publications.
Polishing my scimitar. I'm ready to fight for.
Wow, you just answered my question back to you.
Oh, what do I want for next 6 months? No, I'd like to
are you
collaborate
ready?
With any listeners who may have ideas about
a comedy collaboration.
Yes, I'm looking for people willing to.
No, I'm talking about an album.
With me? Our album?
Then you should do a comedy collab.
With you?
With me? No, with like one of your comedy friends.
I would love to. I would love to
like
do
that. Not a Smothers Brothers thing, but like a Wayne and Schuster thing.
Maybe.
What, you think we can do it? Can collab. We pull it out?
Maybe. You never know.
I've never entered the comedy game, man.
I might put out another Wrong Hole album.
What happened to Wrong Hole? That's my official question
I'm
to you.
I'm back for the next few months, so.
Are you handling the Twitter on Wrong Hole?
No, that's all Andrew.
Oh, so Andrew's liking my tweets.
Yeah, Andrew is very generous and good.
Oh, because he's liking my tweets.
Well, I'm not even seeing. My Twitter is a mess. Like, I follow too many people. And so.
Yeah, I know. You always complain about that to me.
Yeah, I just don't get to see the things you tweet unless I, like, seek them out. And lately I've actually been taking Twitter off my phone and stuff. And
putting it back on.
Been putting it back on today, yeah, and so all that stuff.
Oh, because of the Q&A.
Yeah.
You're going to take it off after this.
I don't know. I might just, like, try to control myself, like, naturally and not...
Interesting, you know. A new turn here.
New turn.
All right, so that's it. Thanks for coming down, Nick.
Thank you.
And I'll see you next year.
I'll see you next... No, let's do more while I'm here. You don't think that sounds good?
Sure.
Okay.
All right, so you'll be back.
Great.
Fantastic.
Fantastic.
Thanks for the sniffle at the end. It did mark the whole... Are you sick?
I was sick last week.
Oh, Jesus.
I'm not contagious right now.
Good thing you didn't tell me that beforehand. I'm finding this out on the podcast. It's why it's why you have your mic and I have mine.
Yeah, it's why we don't use the same mic. That would be so creepy if we were both just next to each other. Hey, well, welcome. Yeah,
well,
man.
Some podcasts do, man. This is a pro podcast.
This is pro.
All right, see you, man.
Bye.